We work with your colleagues, Ursula Matulonis and Joyce Liu, in ovarian cancer. And in ovary, you know, they typically give platinum and then PARP maintenance. But in breast cancer, I don't think they even studied that. And the general oncologists are like, why am I doing this here and not there? Do you ever do that kind of strategy? If you had this to do again with this lady, for example, would you consider, you know, say platinum followed by PARP?
I think it's reasonable to consider, you know, the Olympiad study, which led to the approval of olaparib, was not completely designed like that. Patients had some more progression on chemotherapy. But, you know, now that we have the agent available, I think it's quite reasonable to think about using it in that manner. I'm also excited for talazoparib from the EMBRACA study. Also looked very promising in that trial, and preclinical work has suggested that talazoparib may be a really potent PARP inhibitor, and I'm excited to be able to use that in clinic.
Yeah, I've heard the term trapping, although I'm not sure I understand it. Do you?
Well, part of the mechanism of action is this PARP trapping ability of these drugs, and that helps to determine their potency. One of the earlier drugs, veliparib, was probably the weakest at PARP trapping. Olaparib is a little bit better. But talazoparib is way on the other end of the spectrum and is very potent at this activity.
So actually, when you were talking about CDK inhibitors being hard to distinguish, in my mind, I was flashing on PARP inhibitors in ovarian cancer, because we're always having this, you know, issue about the data and how. So same exact thing, looks similar efficacy-wise. So you're into indirect comparisons. What about talazoparib? We saw some data on that last year at San Antonio. You know, putting aside the sort of laboratory differences or biologic differences, from a clinical point of view, does the data look different than with olaparib?
Yeah, it's really hard to do a cross-trial comparison between these trials. They were fairly similar, but there were some subtle differences. Both were strongly positive trials. I think an interesting signal to be watching is the idea of patients previously treated with platinum. In both studies, patients could enter with prior platinum treatment, but no prior progression on platinum. So they were not definitively resistant. But even so, it was seen that patients who had some prior platinum exposure, at least with the olaparib, may have gotten a little less out of the olaparib than those who were naive. And certainly, if a patient has progressed on platinum, the mechanism of resistance for progression may be something shared with the PARP inhibitor mechanism of action. And so it may be that one needs to figure out how to sequence these agents or if the PARP inhibitor could overcome some of the resistance from platinum.
And it looks like your patient, by the, and I don't know where the approval came in, but by the time she ended up getting it, she's already had cisplatin, capecitabine, paclitaxel, or eribulin. She looked like she didn't do that spectacularly well. Have you had any patients who did really well, who had good responses to olaparib?
Yeah, I actually had another patient, BRCA2 mutation, who had been on capecitabine first line. She came in with some massive cytopenias from bone marrow involvement. And so we gave her upfront capecitabine. She was triple negative. And at time of progression, I put her on olaparib, and she felt fantastic on that drug. Wonderful quality of life, and disease was controlled for several months. Unfortunately, she's recently progressed and we moved on to something else, but she definitely had a response and also tolerated it extremely well.
She had cytopenias from the disease in the marrow?
Yeah, when she presented with metastatic disease.
And did those cytopenias improve on the olaparib?
So they had improved with the first-line chemotherapy, but luckily they did not worsen with olaparib because we do see some anemia with that agent.
I was going to ask you about that. And again, you know, we get into this in ovarian cancer. You have niraparib, it has thrombocytopenia. But what we've heard for olaparib has been anemia, although I don't know how often that really happens practically in breast cancer. Do we know that, how common it is, a significant problem? Also, GI issues are brought up. Do we know how common that occurs?
I want to say about 40% of patients will have mild to moderate toxicities, including anemia, diarrhea, fatigue, but having severe toxicity tends to be less common.
And what do we know about the side effects profile of talazoparib?
I think they're fairly similar, but I don't have the specific numbers.